بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. البخاري الشريف The statement of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala has been quoted. The love and temptation of the material is within our nature, it's within our makeup. So it is not within us to tear it off from ourselves entirely. It's the makeup, it's within your nature. When it's within your nature, then it's not possible for you to tear it apart. Just as with maturity, then you have some inclinations. And this inclination cannot be thrown out from your nature. And nor does Allah Ta'ala ask us to separate it, to move it out completely. The Sahaba Kiram had asked, perhaps those that could not afford marriage, could they be allowed to castrate themselves so that they cannot fall into the sin of zina? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't allow them. So these things are within your nature, and when they are within your nature, then you have to live with it. Now the wealth began to pour into Medina Munawwara as the Muslims began to conquer bigger territories. Persian Empire was conquered in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and wealth began to pour. Persian carpets, approximately a musalla size or slightly bigger than a musalla size, embedded with diamonds and pearls and all the makeup, would have been worth more than a million. It was just the litter of the street of Medina. Umar saw this, he began to cry. Let it not be أَذَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. That whatever good you have done, then you have taken the reward of the good that you have done. So الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. So in the Akhirat, you've got nothing deposited. You did and you were rewarded. So when you did and you were rewarded, now you can't ask for a reward here. Nonetheless, Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw this wealth, and he understands this is the nature, this is the way Allah Ta'ala has made us, so we can't strip ourselves, we can't tear ourselves from this. So he made a dua, O Allah Ta'ala, guide us to use this wealth to your pleasure. So, we will not be able to live without it. We'll need it. But we have to use it with a lot of care and thought. So it is like fuel, you see. When you're traveling, then you need that fuel. Without the fuel, you can't move. But to abuse that fuel is destruction. You don't use it correctly, you abuse it, then it's destruction. It'll be a fire, it will eat you up. Right? So the same happens with wealth. You can't do without it. But if you use it correctly, it can be a vehicle to your salvation. Right? And if you abuse that wealth, then it'll eat you up. So it's called this property, it can be a vehicle to your salvation, to the shore of safety. It can bring you to the shore of safety. But if you abuse it, use it incorrectly, then the same thing can be the means of your destruction. It can eat you up. Now the question is that Allah Ta'ala made this within our system, within our nature. So we can't strip ourselves of it. So there must be some reason and some wisdom why Allah Ta'ala made this part of our nature. There can be several reasons, right? Some of the reasons that ulama explain, if there were any type of temptations, then it wasn't possible for us to be tempted to the hereafter. Like Allah speaks about the good food, right? Of Jannat, lahmi tayrin mimma yashtahoon, right? And then the fruit, talhim mandood, wa zillim mamdood, wa ma'im maskoob. All the fruit of Jannat, la maqtu'atin wa la mamnu'a, it is not seasonal, like how we have it here, seasonal. And it is not guarded as well. It's not that it's only coming in season, and it isn't that it's guarded that you can enjoy it. So you have the free choice to eat, and also the freedom to eat at any time of the day, any time of the year. If we didn't have the desire to eat, then how could we be tempted? We can only be tempted if we have the urge or the capacity to desire. Like if you speak to this wall and ask, tell the wall about the enjoyment of fruit and food, the thing can't get impressed, can't be moved. It won't affect it in any way because it doesn't have the capacity. No. Then the one that has got the capacity to enjoy, he can be spoken to. So Allah Ta'ala created this capacity that you can understand the comforts that he's got on that side. In Hidayah they speak about a little bit of harir, a little bit of silk, right? Approximately 2 or 4 fingers that can be used. لِتَكُونَ أَنْمُوزَجًا, that it can be a small little sample for the comforts Allah Ta'ala has got in store. Just a sample. You know, when in the old days, these grains, etc., were sold loose. See? So the shopkeepers will ask you, you want rice? So he will go and he got the different containers of rice. So the rice are in different containers right behind the counter. So he'll bring a little sample. This is one rice, American. This is basmati rice. This is that. So he'll bring just a sample. Right? Now the sample is not for you to live with. It is just a sample to understand what we have got. So the same is comforts of this here, this world, is just a sample. It is a sample for the hereafter, that you must enjoy it, but you must enjoy it so that you can understand and you can recognize the favors of the hereafter. Now, if Allah Ta'ala didn't create the capacity in you, or there wasn't that type of sample here, then how could we have appreciated? Couldn't it? If there wasn't a sample, or we hadn't had the capacity, then we couldn't have realized and understood what was the comfort of the hereafter. So Allah has made this so that you recognize. Takuna al-muzajan. Some people say that the reason for this is something else. The reason for it is perhaps it will be serving as a trial, you see. You know, the world has the qaida of the world is ajruka ala qadri kaddika, that you get rewarded according to your striving. How much you struggle, that's proportionately your reward. Struggled more, strived more, then you're going to get that amount of reward. you strive less, then proportionately you get that type of reward. So it's left to you. So in all matters, it's left to the individual how much he will strive. So there must be a trial for him to strive. If there's no trial, then can you strive? So in this world, you'll have all this. You'll have wealth, you'll have women, you'll have all attractions. Now, you have to defy those attractions and move on. The attractions are coming on the side of the road. Right? You're going to Maputo, for example. So on the side of the road, now there are these attractions and distractions. And you have to reach there on time. They give you just 3 hours to reach. And they got all these type of attractions and distractions on the side. Some places they got some zoo. And somewhere they got a circus. Somewhere they've got a snake performer, right? And some place they got some malls, too beautiful, too attractive. All these things are catching your attraction. Some place is a cricket match going on. Somewhere is a soccer final, right? All on the sides, they're showing you. The soccer final going on, it's a cricket final going on, right? Somewhere is a tennis final. They're showing you all it's coming on the side of the road, this side or this side. But they tell you, by if you want to win this game, if you want to win this, you have to come to Maputo in 3 hours. All these attractions are there. The malls are there, so beautiful clothing and food and whatever they've got, right? But you have to reach there in 3 hours. Then you've got this sports going on this side of the road or that side of the road. In some places you've got a zoo there, with the animals, exotic, you know, you've never seen so beautiful animals before. Some places you've got some circus and the performers there, what they're performing, tightrope and what they're doing, like you never see. So everything to attract you. Now, on the one end they tell you, by you, there in 3 hours you're in a game. They're promising you that you come there within 3 hours, you'll be eligible to the prize. Price is what? 1 billion. Not kwachas and all that. 1 billion pounds they're offering you. But you must come there within 3 hours. Now, if you get stuck into this, what will happen? You will lose out there. So, Allah has created this, so this is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. Without this, then there's no struggle. You have got no nafs. You've got no shaitan, right? Then is there going to be a struggle? No struggle. You're going straight then. Now, when you got these type of impediments on the way, nafs coming up on the way, even shaitan coming up, attractions and all these things coming up, the temptations are coming. Now you have to cross the hurdle, then come up. So some say this is the reason. Some say the first, talk about the first. And some say that this is the reason why Allah Ta'ala has created this. Otherwise, it was a direct link to Allah Ta'ala. You just want to be there and you are there straight. There's no hurdle, there's no impediment, there's no nafs, there's no temptation, there's nothing. The moment you intended to be there, and you're already there. Now, when there is no struggle, then you don't value, you don't appreciate. Someone asked, on the day of Qiyamah, Jahannam will also complain, Halmi Mazid. So Allah Ta'ala will press his foot over it until Jahannam begins to say, Qad now, enough, I can't manage now. And Jannat also will say that I've got too much of space still. So for Jannat, what will Allah Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala will create a creation and put them into Jannat. Jahannam, he didn't do this, that he created a creation and then put them into Jahannam to fill Jahannam. No. Then he just suppressed it and that thing went finished. Here he'll create a creation and then put them into Jannat. Now, if someone desires that, we could have been of that creation, no? That we just been created and straight away put into Jannat. So, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah said, بھائی ان لوگوں کو کیا مزہ آئے گا those people that were just created and put into Jannat straight away, so where will they get the enjoyment, the lutf, the excitement of Jannat? There's those that went through all the difficulty and pain, they will get it. Imagine, from the age of maturity, person always been girls and romancing and all that. Whatever type of woman he wanted, and he got, from the time he just came of age. So will he have any enjoyment? No enjoyment, no, there's not, no excitement for him. No novelty, no excitement, because from the time he just came of age and straight away got it. In fact, before that he got it, so there's no enjoyment. He's eating, as I give one story, you know. One villager, farmer, met up with his friend from the town. The friend from the town is ultra wealthy, and this villager is going through some difficulty. Difficulty is making wealth, but with difficulty. So the person of the town is complaining that, you know, I don't find any enjoyment in food. No enjoyment in food, no enjoyment in marital life, nothing. So the villager was quite sharp and intelligent. He understood what this person was talking about. So the villager said, you know, me, every day I eat biryani. Hey, I enjoy it. Every day, biryani I eat. And every second day, I'm making new nikah, you know. Making nikah all the time. And I'm eating biryani all the time. I'm eating, you know. My food is such, you'll eat off your fingers, you know. Anyway, the villager encouraged him, all right, tomorrow I invite you to have meals with me. So in India, when you get an invitation, then you don't eat breakfast also. You don't eat breakfast, and quietly you'll put some churan in your pocket. Churan is like a digestive, you know, fruits of the water. So you eat, and you put the churan, so they're digested, eating a second round. See? So you don't eat, and you take these things and go, so you do justice, you see. You don't be unjust. He invited you, so you must do justice to it. So now, this wealthy person said, it's a top dawat arranged for me, so I must do justice to it. So he didn't eat. Right? I came there and they told him, see, you must come there early in the morning, just after Fijr. So he came at around half past six. Didn't eat anything, came around the house, half past six. I got talking to him, half past seven, and then he goes to his wife and he asks wife, the meals are prepared. Well, the guest is listening what's going on. But she said, no, just now I'll get ready. Well, the village, they have a way, you know, booze, everything in here. It's coming just now. Just now, then you should have to walk another 10 miles. So they have it like that. They said, no, it's just here, it's coming just now. Now, sits and talks to him now, and he's hungry, didn't eat anything from the morning. It's already gone to 9 o'clock. But now he's shouting, hey, did you prepare? He said, hey, just now. Now he's gone to already half past 11, just before Zohar now. In the morning, man didn't eat anything, Abbas 11. Just in the 1 hour's time is Zohar. So at about quarter past 12, he says, hey, whatever you got, just bring it, man. Now he's frustrated, as though he's frustrated, he's shouting. This person can hear what he's talking to his wife. He says, just bring whatever you got. Now, they had the last night's mug, masoor, whatever, simple meals. She laid that thing out, and he wiped it out. He wiped it out properly, did justice to it. Now the problem with this person was, he was wealthy, living in the town, right? And you're tempted to eat anything you're eating. Like you're living in Sparks Road, you know? So you're living in Sparks Road now, then you want chicken cutlets or eating there. Kebabish, you're eating kebabish. My diners, you're eating there and there. So every now and then, you're on Coke, you're drinking Coke. Well, you want juice, you're eating, taking juice. One on steak, eating steak. Right? Chops, all the time he keeps eating. When he's eating all the time, so there is no novelty. He doesn't find the excitement and the satisfaction. He doesn't find it because he's eating all the time. All the time he's eating. Now here, it was against his routine. From the morning, I think, like a half a rosa, you know. Right till, and he didn't eat properly at night because he thought that tomorrow is the dawat, so he didn't eat then. Now then, the day, and then right till about zuhar, and he didn't eat anything. So whatever masood, maghira was there, and he wiped the thing. So he said, what about the nikah? He said, you know, every day you're making new nikah. So he said, see, we live in the farms, right? So in season, we have to be stationed at the farm. When it's season, like, for example, it's mango season, so we have to be living at the farm. And the reason is that if you're not stationed at the farm, you're not camped there, the birds will come and peck. So as the bird comes and pecks the fruit is of no use now. Can't sell the fruit. Who's going to buy that? You know, you're going to sell that in the market and it's pecked by a bird. You're not going to eat that thing. So to avoid, you go and live, right? That the bird comes and straight away they chase the birds away. So when we're living there, then so that happens about 7-8 months in the year to look after our crops already. So we just get a chance maybe sometimes once in a month or so, sometime at night, we just come in home to visit the wife. Right? Once in a month, once in 6 weeks, we come in, visit the wife. So when we come in once in 6 weeks or something, then it's a walima all the time. Right? And here now, every little bit of thora sa ishtiya ho gaya, a little bit of urge. So there's no novelty in that. And by us, there's a novelty that we're doing it, and we're doing it once in 5 weeks, once in 6 weeks, we're doing all this. And you're doing it every day, twice a day, sometimes once every day. So the novelty, the excitement in it, not there. What we're getting at is that in order to be able to appreciate, you need to go through some struggle, through some pain, and then earn the thing. Then you'll appreciate it, right? So that's the general rule in this world, right? I saw one person, he had a rumal, you know, like a shawl he had, and the shawl was pure silk. A good 1,000 rands it was. And the shoes that he was wearing was a cheap shoe, 50 rand shoe he bought from some broken down sale. He went and bought that shoe. Now he took out that expensive shawl of his and he's shining his shoes. Bhai, akal ke dushman, got no brains, what's wrong with you? So he says, you know what, the shawl here I inherited it, I got it free. But the shoe, I sweated for it. You know, I worked for the shoe. So what you sweat for, what you work for, you appreciate. And what you just got for free, you don't appreciate that. So generally the qaida, the rule in this world is, when you sweat for something, you work for something, then you appreciate it, you take good care of it. But it just came free, then you're not so careful about it. You just use it, waste the thing, eat half, waste half, not worried about it. Why? Because it came for free. So this is how man's mind works in this world. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says that you have to work for it. Work for it and then you'll get the Jannah. Now you appreciate it. So this is the second reason that they give why Allah Ta'ala has created these temptations in this world. And there is a third reason. The reasons are given by Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, why Allah Ta'ala has created temptations. Amma man khafa maqama rabbihi nafsa anil hawa. So the main fight here, the main struggle here is the nafs. That's the main struggle in this world. At whichever point you are, and the nafs is giving its two cents, you know, it's tempting you, right? In your childhood, you got one type of temptation, right? your childhood, you want to run around, cycling, some good, beautiful shoes, branded names, right? So these are the type of things that you want when you are young, 15, 16, right? Then you come at about 20, then you want to have fast cars, right? You want to be on the fast lane and run around that way. You want to be living a little bit of a fast life, right? You want to see some videos, humanizing. So this is a thing that happens to you when you're about 20, 25, right? You're experimenting things, drugs and whatever else. Then when you come to about 30, 35, then there is another phase of life that you go through. 20, 25 or 30, then it's another phase of life that you go through, right? Now, you slowly begin to understand, you know what, I've got a wife, I've got a children, so I need to have wealth, right? So the realization, the importance of wealth dawns over you. Before that, it was just excitement, novelty, this run, chase, enjoy. Now you come to some realization that you need to have wealth. So then you begin to pile up wealth. With the heart of وَتَفَاخُرٌ بِالْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Right now you piling up wealth. When you're piling up wealth, then you want to compete, right? You want to compare yourself against others, all right? He's got so much, what I have got. He's got this, what do I have? So you want to compare yourself. And moreover, those people that you socialize with, then what have they got, what you have got, then you want to compare yourself against others. A 4x4, he's got a Prado, he's got a BM, what have I got? I still, for the last 20 years, I never changed my Corolla. And he's already moving on a Prado, and he's already on a 4x4, and what he's got. So now, if you're not doing it, then mentally your mind is working around that line. Then you're thinking now, he's got this, and he's moving. You know, every now and then he's flying overseas, going for Umrah, taking the family. And where am I? I'm to wahi ka wahi. I'm just at the same spot that I started. I made no progress. So your mind begins to work differently now. See, when you're 30, 35, now your mind begins to work differently. Okay, I need to do something. So that something is what? To multiply that wealth. Multiply that wealth. But the fakhurun fil amwali wal awlad. Now you got the wealth. Right? You were striving for wealth, so you got that wealth. Right? That was a dream that you were aspiring for. But eventually you got that. Right? Then, after you have acquired that wealth, then you aspire for something else. Then for what? Well, the fakhurun fil amwali wal awlad. Then you are aspiring for popularity. Following. What type of following I have, what type of following he's got. How well am I recognized by people? People talk about me. Am I recognized? Do I come in the limelight? What type of a card holder are you? Platinum card holder? Holder, what are you? So now you're looking for recognition. You've got this type of shop, this type of property, this type of people, you move around with. So now you want recognition. So first you want excitement, then you want some type of financial stability, then you want to boast with others in wealth, then you want to see now who's more popular. These are the 4 or 5 stages that you go through. You want to see who's more popular, more recognized, more spoken about. So these are the 4 or 5 phases that you would go through. Most people go through. Now, this is such a net, you know, that once you get enmeshed in this net, to come out of it becomes very difficult. This wealth and this whole net, this whole... It's so confusing. Once you get into it, then to come out of it is very difficult. Very, very difficult. Now, because of wealth, sometimes you get enmeshed, for example, in some legal issue, right? In some estate issue, some legal issue, some partnership issue, right? You get caught up. Now, when you get caught up, and obviously, then because it's wealth, So you want that wealth, and the person that you are contending, fighting with, he also wants to have that wealth. Nobody wants to give up. You want it, and he wants it as well. It's your wealth and it's your ego. So both things now before you. It's your wealth and your ego. You want it and he wants it as well. So then when both of you want it and you're fighting, then you have to go to court. When you want to go to court, then your legal representative, be it an attorney, advocate, whatever, this is his business. Your fighting is his business. If you don't fight, then he can't make business. How is he going to make business if you don't fight? So he has to market it very well for you to continue with the fight. The longer the fight, then his business is continuing, you see. So this is his business. You see that in the court, they have a session for lunch, you see. So at the lunch, now attorneys are always sitting on one end, and one villager, he saw those attorneys, you know, in the court, this one is that person's throat, that one is this person's throat. But lunchtime, they all comfortably, they're talking and joking there. Right? But in the court, then they're fighting and they're shouting and all that, right? So now, these villagers, sometimes they are very sharp, you see. So these attorneys are sitting there and they got something, some card or something, and they're passing it around. He's passing it on to the next one is passing it to the third one. So the villager is saying, hey, what you're passing around? Show me also. So, teri kaam ka baat nahi hai. Not yours. Show me just for a moment. He said, what is this? Oh, I saw his child's photograph. So this attorney's child. So now the villager is making a prediction. This person can't be a successful attorney. How come? You know, they all got shocked now because the villager saw the photo and he made a prediction now. Like as though he's Qiyafa Shanas, you know. He knows the Qiyafa. Just look at the person and tell the person's future. So this villager is saying, you see, your child's photo, right? He's 10 years of age and his hands are in his pocket. Right? And you put his hands in other people's pockets. See? So he can't be wealthy. He can't be wealthy. Because his hand is in his own pocket now. He's only looking at his wealth. And your people's hands are in other people's pockets. So this child can't be a successful attorney. So anyway, what I'm getting at is, now this is their business. When it's their business, then they will look for ways to promote the business. And in promoting the business, yeah, you know, you've got a good chance. Hey, we'll wipe this person out. We'll take him to the cleaners, man. Just give us a couple of sessions. And 1 year will go, 2 years will go. And every case, every document that he's writing, and every court appearance, a couple of good thousands are going. In the meanwhile, he's got an anchor tenant. You know, you have an anchor tenant, he's got an anchor client. He's not moving. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And every time he's promising, oh, it's yours, the case is yours. Yeah. So you get so enmeshed into this problem that to come out of it becomes very, very difficult. The simpler thing is that it is an estate problem or it's a partnership problem. Right? And you can see now that there's a problem coming up and just end it up there. Before it hits the fan, before it hits the ceiling, and see, just go and just end it up. Or it's an estate problem, then just take your losses and just separate, just break up. So you'll break up and you'll break up in a good spirit. For example, it's two, three brothers, right? So they just broke up like that. They divided, right? The one took more than the others. Now at least this will happen, that the family relationship hasn't broken up. You haven't broken the family. You're still your brother, and you said, all right, whatever it is, I make him laugh because he's my brother. If he's a smaller brother, then I'm good as his father. So as I'm like in the position of his father, so the father spends on the small. What's the if I spend on my youngest? And if he's elder, then he's like my father. Right? And he's like my father, then The father got the right to use of his child's wealth. Anta wa maluka li abik. Don't we say that? So in that, the whole estate gets winded, and one takes a little bit more, but the friendship hasn't been compromised. Friendship hasn't been compromised. You're not the talk of the town. Otherwise, the friendship is compromised. You become the talk of the town. The whole world is talking. Obviously, your brother will have his own circle of friends, and you will have your circle of friends. Right? Your circle of friends will feel that you were right, and his friends will feel that he was right. So overall, you don't get anything out of it. So the best thing is this, you just cut your losses, say, well, whatever I can get, let me take that, but let's maintain the relationship. And then now for the future, we become more cautious. Whatever has happened through negligence not understanding the position correctly, in future we'll be a little bit more careful of how we operate. Now it's happened, now it's too late to cry over it. Otherwise, it can happen like this also, that you go to the courts and all that, and they take you, and they clean you up, complete, finish. Whatever you've got also, everything is wiped out. It carries on, rolling and rolling and rolling, never ending. So this is that kubbe mal, and this is what it does to you. Imam Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah writes that a person who's got hubb mal, right, got the love of wealth deeply rooted into his heart, then even if he's with the best awliya of the world, they can't correct him. When the hubb mal, the love of the wealth, is deeply rooted within him, then they can't correct him. Because everything he's doing it in the mirror of wealth, or the reflection of wealth. So he can't see beyond that. He can only see, what he sees is just wealth, and he can't see anything beyond wealth. When he can't see anything beyond wealth, then if this is making sense, you know, like I say, rands and cents, if it's making sense, then he's going for it. If it's not making any sense, then he's not going for it. So he sees everything and he measures everything according to the material value. With a child also, then he sees the material value. This child can make wealth, so he's an asset to me. But the child can't make wealth, then he's not an asset, he's a liability. Your own child also, you begin to look at him with contempt because he can't make wealth. If he can make wealth, then he's dear to you. You hold him close to you. And he can't make wealth, then you begin to dislike him. You disown him. Why he can't make wealth? He's useless. You'll see the person is useless just because he can't make the wealth. And he's useful if he can make the wealth. So everything is measured by wealth. So wealth becomes the criteria. That becomes the benchmark. Now, Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says, gives a third reason why Allah Pak has created this system, you know, that you are created like this, and there is a temptation in you, and there is those distractions outside. Outside is the distraction, within you is the temptation. So it's part of your makeup. Part of your makeup is temptation, and outwardly is those temptations. And like I say, you can't strip yourself of these temptations. And when it's part, it's your makeup, and you can't divorce yourself from your makeup. You can't separate yourself, can't strip yourself from your makeup. And it's impossible. But then what is the wisdom? Why did Allah Ta'ala make it like this? So he's given the third reason. He says, the third reason is that he gave this an example to it, you know. An example I got from my own. I may have mentioned it once or twice, but the example goes like this, that there is a poor person, very poor person, right? And he played some lottery, right? Poor person, he's working and his salary is menial. So what he's getting? a very, very, very paltry salary he's getting. So he may be getting 50 rands, 60 rands for the day. The whole day he worked, he got 60 rands, 100 rands maximum. Now, he went and played this thing, and he won, say, a couple of millions, 10 million he won, right? When he won the 10 million, those people that are running this whole game, they say, you know, if we disclose the news to him straight away, we let him know about the same this one time, then he won't be able to take it, can't manage this. So what we need to do is, we need to break the news to him, but in installments, gradually you have to break the news to him. When you break the news one shot, and his heart, his mind can't take it. So they're deliberating now that how should we break the news to him. He's all right. He goes once a week to church, so we'll tell the village pastor to pass the news to him. So they told the pastor, we'll give something 100 rand, 200 rand, and you break the news to him. Show him the story, what it is all about, why they're using the pastor to convey the message. So the pastor called him and said, I hear you played this game and all that. So yeah, how much you put so much. And now the pastor got him in a conversation. In the course of the conversation, he asked him, and say, for example, if you won this game, then half is yours. If you won this game, you know, 10 million now, if you won, then half, 5 million is yours. So the pastor got a heart attack and he died. So what I'm saying here is Allah Ta'ala didn't place this comfort straight away. The Jannat comforts, he didn't place it here straight away. He reduced it. He reduced it, the pleasure of it and the enjoyment, to the level that we can manage. Right? To the level we can manage. And had he kept it in its full, with this weak bodies, that our bodies wouldn't have been able to manage that level of pleasure. Our hearts would have burst, you see. Like, you know, how you say, it's a the V8 engine, right? So you could use it like that and travel with that speed, right? But if it's not V8, V1, for example, and you are guessing, imagining it to be V8, what are you going to do? You're going to be busting the engine, right? It doesn't have the capacity, but you imagine the thing to be like V8, and you want to use it like that, what's going to happen? Right? So this is now the capacity, the small capacity that you have got. When you've got a small capacity, then you need to understand that this is a small capacity that I've got. I have to work within my capacity. I can't go beyond my capacity. So Allah Ta'ala has kept this world like this with all its pleasures so that we can imagine what is in the hereafter. Got this? He didn't keep those pleasures of the hereafter exactly here, but he kept a small example to the extent that we can endure. Small little example. We can enjoy it, we can manage it. Right? And hence we will appreciate what Allah Pak has got for us in the hereafter. You see the philosophy now, the philosophy why Allah Ta'ala has designed it and planned it like this. So the essence of what I'm explaining today by the grace of Allah Ta'ala is this, that the wealth you can't do without it, but it must be used as fuel. If you're going to be using it as fuel, then it will be a vehicle for you to the shore of safety. Right? It will be a vehicle for you. Right? Provided you use it correctly. It can be a vehicle for you. It can be that same fuel can be used as light. Isn't that with the fuel, you get light also? Like it's transport, it's light as well. But provided you use it correctly. So the same temptation, if it's used correctly, it's going to be light for you. Right? At some place now, for example, the temptation is very, very hard. Very, very strong temptation. Can't resist. But with all that, you're still suppressing yourself. Right? Now it's going to create a light in your heart. إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Right? He will create a light for you that you can distinguish things, you can distinguish right and wrong. But provided you suppress, إِن تَتَّقُ اللَّهِ, suppress that fuel in you, right? That steam in you, that energy in you. Fuel is what? Fuel is energy, isn't it? So that energy of yours has to be suppressed. When it's suppressed, then it's going to be transformed into light. Now that light will show you the way then. So the same fuel, right, the same temptation can be used as a light for you as well. Like it can be a vehicle to the shore of safety, it can be also a light for the road. It can be a light for the road. Without the light, you can't see the road. But you got the light, you can see. Now imagine it's totally dark, absolutely dark. You don't know you're going down a cliff, you know. You don't know whether you're going into some robbers, you don't know what's happening, where you're going to, you don't know at all what's happening. So you need the light. Like you need a vehicle for your transport, then you need a light as well. Now, that same fuel, if you use it correctly, it becomes your light. It becomes your vehicle, it becomes your light. So this temptation, when you use it correctly, it became your light. You suppressed it, now it became your light. How many things Allah gives you just because of you suppressing that temptation? مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مُخْرَجًا مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِ إِنْ تَتَّقُ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. So all these things here, he gives you a vehicle to go across. He gives you a light that you can distinguish, you can have a vision, you can understand, see things in perspective. It all depends on how much you suppress that energy. See, call it temptation, call it energy. It's an energy that is bursting in you. And that energy has to be then suppressed. Then you say to yourself, no, I'm going to suppress this energy even if I die. You know, that energy in me is erupting, it's bursting in me, bursting, it's breaking at the seams, right? But I'm going to suppress the thing, no matter what. What happens, I'm not worried. But I'm going to suppress this. I'm not going to allow this energy to have the better of me. It can't control my life. It can't run my life. I need to run the thing. That fuel, you can't allow the fuel to run you. You need to run the fuel. You need to be in control of the fuel. If you would allow that thing to control your life, then it will bring destruction to you. It will eat you up, fuel. That's energy, see. So these are the gifts that Allah Ta'ala will give you. So you need this. You need this energy. Now, for example, you didn't have this energy, right? Now, how are you going to get a light? You don't have a light. How are you going to get a vehicle? Or if you got a vehicle, then how are you going to move the vehicle? So you need the energy. That energy is going to give you light. That energy is going to give you a vehicle, you see. So you need this. You need that fight. See, the stronger that fight, that means there's more energy in you. When there's energy in you, you're pressing that energy. When you're pressing that energy, now it's giving off light. See? You're suppressing that energy, it's giving off light. Your heart is tempted to it. It's wrong there. You want to see that wrong. And it's a girl you want to see. It's a young lad you want to see. Right? It's something that's coming in your mind. You want to go and do it. You want to go and experiment that thing. Right? It's the wrong company. You want to go and join up the wrong company. Right? Right? It's a video clip. You want to go and see that thing. Right? So, some wrong or the other, small wrong or big wrong, you have to hold yourself. You're not going to do it. Or it's an opportunity, business opportunity, but you know it's not right. It's not right, you're suppressing. You think, hey, you know, people are getting, they're just going to invest with this thing here, and they're going to get 25%, 30% returns. I'm going to get left out. So you're suppressing yourself, you see, suppressing yourself. So when you're suppressing yourself, then Allah gives you this light. See, so that suppressing and holding yourself doesn't go wasted. We think that we're suppressing ourselves and we're holding ourselves, that holding a temptation, and we're not going to get any return. So this is going to be a great return. Imagine you're going to get to the shore of safety. Imagine you're getting a light where everybody is in the dark and you're getting a light. Right? Everybody is getting bitten by snakes and scorpions, right? And you are a beautiful light. Wherever you're going, you are covered in light. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, giving a light. The light, he's walking amongst people. What a light. And others are in dark. Whilst others are in darkness, then you are covered in light. So what a great blessing Allah gives you, just for you to suppress this energy of yours. Suppress it. And that same energy now, light transforms into a light. It transforms into a vehicle. Allah Akbar.